Bioethics, the Next Generation, is the subject of this edition of the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org, practicalbioethics.org. Joining us on the program today are three individuals who are or have been program interns at the Center for Practical Bioethics. They represent the next generation of bioethicists in America, and we're taking advantage of an opportunity when they're all in one place to visit about their experience here and plans for the future. They are Emily Abdaller, fourth-year medical student at the University of Michigan, Brett Kaler, fourth-year medical student at the Kansas City University of Medicine and Biosciences, also getting a master's in bioethics at that institution, and Daniel Vogelsang, a student pre-med at Graceland University in Iowa. Emily, let's start with you. You were a student a few years back at William Jewell and Liberty Memorial, or at William Jewell College in Liberty, north of Kansas City. What drew you to the center in the first place?
I was a molecular biology major with an emphasis in genetics at William Jewell, which at its baseline had sort of a strong program and study agenda in bioethics. It was through my interest in science that I began to think about the societal implications of our progress, especially in the realm of genetics, and so was interested in pursuing bioethics a bit further. Around that same time, William Jewell added a bioethics minor, or major rather, to its academic programs, and I was the first student to participate in that program.
A trailblazer, so to speak, huh?
Something of that sort. And as a part of that, a colloquium was designed in conjunction with the center, and so began coming down here for sessions with the various faculty members and other members of the staff, and was given a volunteer project as a part of that colloquium, and after that, they just couldn't get rid of me. I decided to continue volunteering, continue learning from the people here, and just thought it was a unique combination of scholarship and community action that really I haven't found replicated anywhere else in the country.
Did you have any expectations whenever you walked into the door for the first time?
It's difficult to remember back that many years.
Oh, it wasn't that long ago now.
It's been a while. I really wasn't sure what to expect. I certainly knew the main issues in bioethics at the time from my more classroom-oriented studies of the subject, but I really had no concept of the type of community relationships that the center had already fostered and was hoping to foster, and that really has defined one of my own sort of priorities in the field going forward, is to not just do armchair philosophy, but to always engage with the public and think about the real implications, both in terms of policy and just day-to-day lives of the people that you come into contact with, of bioethics and the different issues.
Brett Kaler, you came here to work with Meyer Christopher, CEO at the time, now the Kathleen Foley Chair in Pain and Palliative Care, and you worked within the pain arena directly with Myra. Talk to us about that.
I did. I came to the center from my medical school in Kansas City, the Kansas City University of Medicine and Biosciences, through some connections that the school has with the Center for Practical Bioethics. One of my professors, who was interested in doing some research work on medical professionalism, the ethics of medical students, medical education and such, and needed someone to stick around for a year to get some more experience, but to help him with his research projects. He approached me and also approached Myra at the center to help fund time for me to be able to get some more experience in the bioethics arena and the ethics arena in general.
Sorry to interrupt, but had you even thought about ethics and bioethics at that point?
I had. I was actually already involved in the bioethics master's program at the school, which I began more as a kind of a diversion from a lot of the medical education that I was getting. It's a very tough tough process that you go through. You learn a lot of science and you learn a lot of some of the technical aspects of medicine, but you don't get a good sense as according to some of the broader issues of what medicine plays in society, in our culture. And coming to the center with the Pains Project, I actually had very little education about pain, about the suffering that people go through and some of the societal implications of how pain fits into our culture, how pain is usually relegated to a status of secondary. And some of the people with chronic pain do not have the, that some of the people experiencing pain don't have a voice. They don't have a voice in the community. They don't have a voice for what they're experiencing because medicine itself, biomedicine itself, and the economic aspects and the systematic aspects really relegate them to a space where it's just not part of the armamentarium of medicine.
Same question for you that I had for Emily. What kind of expectations did you have coming in? And I have to chuckle a little bit with the idea of bioethics as a diversion. But you found out here that it was more than a diversion.
I did. I really did. I found out what an essential place it actually has for a student, or what a student ought to understand about medicine and its place, because it's medicine has such a broad impact in how our society faces our humanity and our existence, and some of the ways that we are, some of the ways we approach health and disease are framed in ways that are biomedically oriented. And unfortunately, the experience of suffering and the experience that people go through in the sick role and becoming sick and being vulnerable has a broader impact. There's psychosocial impacts and there's community impacts and there's many other issues that play into it that doctors, physicians need to be aware of, but it doesn't get taught often in medical schools.
Daniel, I hate to put you on the spot and going last here, but I'm doing it.
That's fine.
So you're coming in as a current a program intern here at the center.
That's right.
What drew you here, and what have you found so far?
Well, actually, drawing me here, that's an interesting way of putting it. I was pushed in this direction by my professor. I asked him if he had any contacts with people less in the realm of bioethics, more in the realm of potential policy workers, system workers, those that understood the medical system from a more elevated stance, because my long-term goals hopefully will be after medical school, after maybe a number of years in practice, to turn around and actually devote myself towards systemic injustice. So I last year in my honors courses at Graceland, undergraduate, I had to do a research topic over a subject of my choice, and I chose healthcare reform. And that turned into a monumental assignment for my own personal growth, because I began to understand the system, I think, in a way that most people at my level of education don't. Most pre-med students and even medical students and potentially doctors don't. And really began to identify the holes and the problems that are associated with our healthcare system on a macro scale. And then to turn around and begin to look for solutions. And so I wrote a pretty lengthy paper and then gave a 2 to 3 hour presentation a number of times in the last year on healthcare reform. And then my professor said, you know what, I'd really like to send this to Terry Russell, who works, philosopher who works in,
sure,
in the center.
He's the Rosemary Flanagan Chair here at the center.
Right. Great man. And so he said, you know what, I'd like to meet this kid. And we met for lunch, and he said, well, down the road, do you have any idea what you're going to be doing for the summer? And long story short, here I am learning about bioethics, but also learning about the system from all different elements and all different avenues. And it's been insanely rewarding, but largely a learning opportunity. When my parents or my friends and family ask me what I'm doing here, it's sometimes difficult to say, because yes, I'm serving as an office assistant. Yes, I'm doing some minor research projects, but for the most part, it's been an insanely rewarding opportunity to just learn.
Well, we call it other duties as assigned, and anything comes under that
moving
category.
Boxes, sure.
Yeah. Well, now, Emily, let's get to you. I mean, you went through this experience here at the center, and you've had a couple of stops since with National Institutes of Health, and now at the University of Michigan in your fourth year medical school there. What have you carried into those positions and situations from what you learned here about bioethics?
I think moving from here to the NIH Department of Bioethics in the Clinical Center in Bethesda was the perfect sort of transition for me. I think I had a much better understanding going into the NIH of the value of really empiric bioethics from my work here. So as I mentioned earlier, the focus on community outreach, community engagement that I saw taking place on a day-to-day basis here as a volunteer, I was able to understand the importance of really engaging and surveying and understanding public opinion, which the NIH department draws heavily upon in the work that they do and was a large part of the different research projects that I undertook while at NIH, focusing mostly on human subjects research ethics, which were informed in a large part by what the actual opinions were of those individuals participating in research as a way of understanding the real ethical issues underlying that sort of practice by medical practitioners. I think I also had just a really solid general understanding of bioethics. While I was a bioethics major at William Jewell College, I was not trained very extensively in philosophy or in more of just standard ethics. And while many of the fellows at NIH were, I think that my work here really helped lay the groundwork, a solid foundation for me to build upon going to NIH without that real rigorous training in philosophy that I might have otherwise lacked.
Well, I think it's interesting now that you're fourth year medical student at the University of Michigan, and when you came in here yesterday, you said, and I didn't know that, when you came in here yesterday, you said, well, I just spent the last month in ICU, and I thought, well, are you okay? And but within an ICU, the ethical issues, you have an opportunity to look at a lot of situations through a bioethics lens, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I've never had those issues brought quite to the forefront, both as regularly and intensely as they were the last month in the ICU. I was exceedingly grateful for my bioethics exposure and training at a multitude of levels going into that experience, as well as the opportunities afforded to me to just spend time talking with people before being thrown into that type of clinical situation. I really believe that most of the ethical problems that we encounter in clinical practice are not the result of bad practitioners, or even to say, use the word evil practitioners or those without a moral compass. It's practitioners who are overwhelmed with the clinical aspects of taking care of patients and who are in a time crunch. And so even if they recognize the ethical dilemmas that they may be facing, certainly the large ones, but also the small ones they encounter on a day-to-day basis, they may not have the time or the background framework for dealing with those in a manner that's efficient and fair to all parties. And so I think that the experiences I've had here at the center and also at NIH will serve me extraordinarily in my future medical practice, and not hopefully not only for the patients that I serve directly, but for my colleagues and for future students, because I'd like to ultimately be involved in medical education. And as Brett was saying, these are issues that aren't always addressed in the right way. Mm-hmm. In medical schools, they're tested on board exams in multiple choice questions that mm-hmm. just don't make sense for these types of issues.
And kind of a lot of black and white mm-hmm. kind of presentations rather
thinking.
Than the gray that happens within an ICU.
And medical legal thinking. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the duties of those of us who have this sort of training going forward into our medical careers is to think of creative ways of training the next generation in an efficient way, in a way that allows for all of the important clinical aspects of training, but impart the tools for dealing with these situations rather than stock answers to situations we might anticipate, because there are things that we just can't prepare for in that manner, and we just have to have the ability to ask the important questions and to think about things thoughtfully and systematically.
Mm-hmm. Brett, you've been nodding your head throughout this. And from the Bioethics Center, we should say you went up to, was it Wayne State, I believe?
I went up to Pontiac, Michigan. I was actually working in an inner city hospital in downtown Pontiac for my clinical rotations. And just to reflect what Emily was speaking to, you do become very keenly aware of a lot of the systemic issues that play into how medicine is practiced and how these ethical issues come to the fore. And physicians do. They see them, and they don't necessarily acknowledge them or don't feel like they may have the power to do anything about them. One thing an ethical perspective actually brings to clinical situations is you do have a better understanding of how the forces play into how people are, how people do suffer, how people do struggle with some of the economic issues and the political issues and just the practice of medicine that relegates patients to just a number or not really a person in really who they are, and how we hope medicine as a humanistic enterprise is able to treat them in their biopsychosocial who they are as a person. But medicine really is less than capable of that.
Well, Daniel, see what you have to look forward to here. what are your thoughts on how an understanding of bioethics will be able to position yourself for some success in your future endeavors?
Well, I was really struck by what Emily had to say about out of this comes an understanding that directly correlates to responsibility. And I think that that is, for me, the big take home from this entire experience, is that there's not enough discussion, there's not enough conversation, ultimately not enough education on this very issue that so greatly affects the patient, the provider, and the system as a whole as far as positive quality in treatment, but also efficiency and everything. And for those that do understand better this vast subject that is bioethics, I think that there is an incredible amount of responsibility that rests on their shoulders if they're going to turn around and be an active member of that healthcare society. And so for me, I think that that's really what I want to embody is learn as much as I possibly can at this stage in the game and then turn around and employ it down the line.
Okay, final question for all three of you, and I'll start with Daniel, then go from left to right this time and finish with you, Emily. Where do you see bioethics in 5 years or 10 years? How will the field change? What kinds of things will bioethics have to become involved with in some way? And you've been saying, Daniel, a lot about research, clinical research, worldwide implications, and that's some of the things I've been hearing you talk about.
Sure. I think there's a number of frontiers. One major aspect of bioethics is the technology avenue, that there's going to be significant discussion down the line as far as medical technologies that might start to create more provocative questions in the community about what is our role as human beings, as providers, to save the patient versus provide quality treatment versus really wrestle with some of the issues that we haven't come in contact with so far in medical history. Another frontier, and this is more my avenue, is access to healthcare. And I think that with the passage of Affordable Care Act and the amount of dialogue that surrounds that particular sector of this bioethical pie, there's going to be a significant need for individuals that understand the ethical dilemmas of providing versus not giving healthcare to an entire population or to segments of that population. So there's that frontier as well. And then finally, I think that what this center does incredibly well is wrestle with the issues that are ongoing and continual as far as quality treatment towards the end of life and towards those underrepresented populations that Brett talks about that really need voices when they have none themselves. And so I think there's going to be a great increase in applicability of bioethics in the future.
Brett Kaler, next 5 years, what about bioethics, the role bioethics will play?
Well, I really see that there's going to have to be some significant change in the sociocultural perspectives and dispositions of people of how we approach health and disease. We're seeing a large increase in chronic illness. We're seeing a large increase of people that are suffering from diseases which an acute care structure of medicine is not able to incorporate. Physicians are now having to understand that long-term preventive care and rehabilitation has to function in how they approach medicine, but it's also from the standpoint that there may be diseases that we don't have a quick fix to try and give people some sort of cure to them. Physicians and society is going to have to really look at the structure of how medical care is advanced, how we pay for it, how we incorporate it into our lives, and really take a better stand in making sure that people get the care that they deserve from a very broad spectrum.
Emily, you have a last word. Bioethics in 5 years, what kind of role will it play?
Well, I think the issues raised by my two colleagues here are incredibly important and right on point with the future of bioethics in the next 5 years. I think for me personally, I think that the culture is changing such that both from an academic perspective and also as an entire society, we're becoming slowly more comfortable with asking the important questions. Mm-hmm. Because to me, that's what bioethics is really about, is identifying what questions we need to be asking about our policies, about our practices, about the systemic issues, about injustice, about progress, and going forward with a thoughtful dialogue that involves all of the key stakeholders in the issue. And I think that's what this discipline, can really bring to the table, is identifying and raising those questions that are central to really our existence as humans in this complex biomedical society. And I feel very fortunate to be part of a field that's going to be a leader in bringing those issues to the forefront in the future.
Well, here they are, the next generation of bioethicists, Emily Abdaller, Brett Kaler, and Daniel Vogelsang. Thanks for your time, and here's to a bright future for all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Laurel.
Okay, I'm Laurel LeBou. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.